drinking alcohol. I'm on a good kush. I'm on a good alcohol. I'm on a good kush. I'm on a good kush. I'm on a good I'm on a good kush, I'm on a alcohol. I'm on a good, I drink my alcohol.
So please don't take my kush.
Welcome to the two regular friends. I'm Brian.
And I am also, I'm not also Brian.
Also, yeah. Because this camera is positioned where it's positioned, it looks like I'm much bigger than you.
So and it I'm actually gonna, makes me look like way thinner than I actually am.
Well, let's fix that.
Maybe it's just because I'm wearing black.
Would you like a piece?
What is it?
Asian pear.
Sure. Yeah. I get down. Mm. That's enormous.
Mm. It's like an apple, but also a pear.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Have you ever had coffee jelly before?
No.
My niece got me into this anime called The Disastrous Life of Light of Psyche K.
Yeah.
It's this like telepathic psychic kid
.
Who he's obsessed with coffee jelly, and
okay.
It's this Japanese, you know, dessert delicacy that's literally just coffee jello, but you get a little thing of cream and, you know, you get it on top and very succulent, very delectable. I drove to the Japanese grocery store in Ardmore to get a little package of them. Stupid cheap. And I wanted to surprise my niece with them. And so she was totally into it. But basically, anytime someone offers me like an Asian anything, I'm down with it because all of their stuff is. I just Asian food is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Asian produce is amazing. Asian processed foods are amazing.
Yeah, like I did not have enough fun snacks when we were in Australia at like the mall.
Yeah.
By the way, Australia. Thank you for keeping malls alive.
Yes.
It was like walking into a mall in 2004.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Emporium, and I told Matto this, and I meant this from the depths of my soul and not as a knock against his country, but that day where I was out on my own and went to the Emporium, their huge, like, the 8-story mall or whatever, was literally the best time I had in Australia. Like, I loved it there. I was like a pig in shit. Like, it was perfect. And I would not have changed anything about that because it was just wonderful. They had all sorts of foods. They had a whole Osmo store. You just look around at DJI stuff. I mean,
granted, just selling their products.
Yeah, literally just their products. But they had a Lego store. They had a pawn shop in there.
In the mall.
A pawn shop slash arcade, which was wild. Utterly delightful. And I would love to. I miss Australia.
Yeah,
on the
me
daily,
too.
Because there's the food, the people, the snacks, like the coffee Doritos that we tried, which were really weird.
They were super weird.
And I didn't get any caffeine high from them. Apparently, you're supposed to, because they're supposed to have some element of caffeination in there, or at least some kind of boost. I'm wondering if the boost is just from the sugar, and they say it's from caffeine, because they kind of taste like lightly dusted, sugary sort of chips with a hint of coffee, and sort of like coffee jelly, where it's the hint of coffee.
Yeah.
And really what you're getting is something more decadent, because you're pouring. They give you a little thing of half and half in each package of coffee jelly, so that
what? So what are you supposed to do with the half and half?
You okay? So the way that they have it in the anime is like you open the thing; it's basically like a pack of Jello, but then you just boop, and there it is on your plate.
Squiggly. Okay.
You open the half and half, and you just pour it over it, and you. Then
so now you make a mess.
Well, it's on a plate, but or in a bowl.
Half. So now you have this wobbly mess with like diluted cum on top of it.
Basically, yes.
And you eat it with a spoon?
Yes.
Do they give you spoons in the pack?
They do not.
It is opposite plan.
Yes. I mean, you could technically open the thing and pour the half and half right on top into the little, but they don't give you enough space to pour it directly on top. So it's strange. It is a deeply strange thing. And it's not something that I would have with any sort of regularity or frequency, just because it is so sweet and it is so, like, there is caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you know, I got to modulate that in some ways. But generally speaking, it is very satisfying, and I understand why it would be popular.
You ate this whole thing by yourself?
No, I shared it with my niece.
Oh, so, okay.
It was a type of thing that it's just kind of, you know, nice little difference. And the other thing that I like is, and it's partially because I'm terminally online, and so there's this TikToker who goes into these Korean convenience stores, gets an ice cup, and then makes a drink out of like their ice or their drink pouches.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I just find that fascinating. The fact mm-hmm. that you have an ice cup, you have a drink pouch, and then you get all your different mix-ins from various things in the convenience store. And I realize we don't really do drink pouches here. I mean, I guess we do Capri Sun.
Yeah.
But these drink pouches are meant to be like opened and then poured into something else. They're not pouches.
The fuck?
Yeah. It's very strange. There's a lot of waste, it seems, like packaging waste, but
it's like it's an IKEA country. Like everything has to have. I mean, I get that there's like presentation in it, but my first experience with Japanese snack foods is seeing the nice ramen packets that come with that little. There's like three or four packets in the ramen packet. Like you get the little bit of sesame oil.
Yeah, you get the seasoning.
And then the seasoning, and then the accoutrements that go in it.
Yeah.
Like the hell is this?
The crushed pepper, the soy sauce.
Yeah,
and you know that. Person, they'll go into the Korean.
Do you want any more meat and cheese?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Fuck yeah. They'll sometimes in the convenience store, they'll make their ramen there and then they'll get like a little thing of string cheese and then put that into the ramen. And
yeah, it took me until post college that I realized that going out for ramen meant something.
Oh.
And it's not Top Ramen or Marichin, because that was my only experience with my first, because I didn't even know that as ramen noodles. That was called oodles of noodles.
Huh.
Like back, and even then, in high school, I'm like, this is worse than soup.
Hmm.
Because, like, the original oodles of noodles was terrible. It tasted like soup that had been sitting out all day when it's fresh out of the microwave. And then I got to experience Top Ramen and realizing that, oh, you as much as, instead of filling it all the way up to the top with water, I would strain it. I would strain most of the water out of it and then add the seasoning to it.
Mm.
Or maybe I did the angel's share. But whatever, I didn't really make it soup. I just had like mostly noodles in it. I'm like, oh, this makes sense. And then my sodium count was fucking insane.
True story. I have never once had instant ramen in my life.
Really?
Yeah. I've only ever, like, actually, I can count on maybe one hand the amount of times I've had ramen in general, and half of them were times that Matt Farah took us.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've never had it because of the sodium content.
Mm.
That freaks me out, is just the sheer volume of sodium in it.
Well, as long as you don't put the pouch in it or only use a little bit of it, that's where all the salt is.
Yeah. It's in
I mean, you can make half-decent ramen. Like, I think it, even at that discount grocery store, TJ, that we were at, they had, like, nice ramen noodles there.
Yeah, they did.
You want to point the microphone at you. Sorry, the microphone is attached to the production desk. It's a video microphone, and it's highly directional. It's a shotgun mic.
Yeah, shotgun.
And feel free to introduce yourself, since this is the free one, so maybe they didn't get the introduction on the Patreon
episode. So this is the free episode. We are in the beginnings of RCR's new studio at the Glen. The name of the house. There's going to be stuff behind us here, which I may do. I may put. Where is it?
Yeah.
Probably there. See, if the camera's going to be there, something needs to be here. I mean, I could just put the old picture of Vagabond Falcon right here.
There you go.
Or some other stuff. Put the silver play button back here. That can be something until we get the actual banner.
Oh, I thought you meant until like we get to the million because the shorts keep.
I gotta get back on doing that shorts. Okay, so behind the production desk right now is my roommate TJ. You may or may not see him on camera. It depends if he wants to be on camera. Although I will not say too much. I was hoping that you would have got called because then you would have been downtown when the Eagles won. That as additional security, but enough people called off from your traditional job that you didn't get to go downtown, which may or may not have been a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, you know, it would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Let's call it entertainment.
I, like, if it wasn't so soggy, I would have wanted to be downtown in remote in suit. Now, whether or not I would have got that thing torn off me.
People would have lost their minds.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I would wear my Philly shirt, which for people who don't know, like with my fursuit, as it's a general purpose bird, but depending how you dress the suit is kind of what the bird is. But if I put on my green and I have a shirt that says Philly, which is a reference to the sneak play that they did last time they won in 2018. But
which we weren't in the country for.
No. We were in New Zealand last time the Phillies won. And I had to explain to my friends in New Zealand what this meant.
Yes.
And also what Philly fans really are like. Like, think soccer hooligans from the UK and now you're in the same ballpark.
They would have crowd surfed you straight into the subway.
Really? That would have been awesome. Well, also, it would have fucked up the suit because it's an all-white suit.
Yeah, no, yeah. You would have been filthy.
Yeah.
They were already crowd surfing the light poles or the traffic.
No, did you see? They tore down the light pole and they were just...
They tore it down because it was flashing red.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
Because it wasn't green.
Yeah.
Oh,
Philadelphia. Oh. I mean, sorry, Patrick Mahone. You didn't get protection from the refs the entire time. Like, I know I'm being a casual Philly fan, but I was in the middle of moving this entire time they were on the hunt and realizing that, oh, it was really obvious that the NFL and other maybe powers that be wanted to build this narrative around the Chiefs and whether or not your old classmate had something to do with that.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, the whole weird thing about it is that it feels like every time there is a team that is generally favored by the narrative.
Yeah.
And so forces align behind that team to make the narrative happen. And the narrative has never been us. So when it does...
Yeah, the narrative has never been the Eagles.
Yeah.
Because... people hate the Eagles, and for rightly so, except our team survives and lives by chaos.
Exactly.
And when that chaos is pointed in the right direction, you know, I was around for when we had McNabb, like the McNabb choke. Because I remember back in I was working at Bear Creek Ski Area when we were at the playoffs and watching us not make it. Or maybe it was the Super Bowl where we didn't win. Back in, I think it would have been like 2004 or something like that.
Somewhere around there.
And people just kept busting on McNabb for, you know, choking when it absolutely mattered and like throwing biffs and throwing it.
Poor Donovan.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And even though he was one of the greatest players of all time, it just so happens he had a shit run of luck.
Yeah.
And maybe the whole team wasn't as good as it could have been.
There are great players with no ring.
Yeah. Dan Marino. Yep. Yeah.
Which is wild to me. Because like everybody in elementary school had a fucking Dolphins jacket.
Yeah.
Though that as a kid, Dolphins, the fucking
San Francisco 49ers.
Charlotte Hornets.
Hornets. Yep.
I had a 49ers cap.
Yeah.
My
buddy Tom had the big puffy 49ers jacket.
Yeah.
Well, like 49ers were in the 90s what the Cowboys are today in PA. And it still boggles my mind that you have people in Pennsylvania who are Cowboys fans. And I wonder if it's just fucking Susan Sarandon, what's her face, from Talmadge and Townshend.
Laura Smith.
Laura Smith, who are just doing it because.
Like, I'm going to be controversial and wear Cowboys stuff. Like, it's that whole weird and, you know, if I keep busting on him, we'll probably meet him some gay. some gay. Shane Gillis. Like, and I'm just bringing him up because he's from fucking Mechanicsburg.
Is he? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Fucking A.
Yeah. But like, I look at him, and he has that sort of mid-state face, that PA face. You're not sure if he's Irish or Asian. You know? Yeah. The whole mid-state Pennsylvania has a strange identity complex because you have Baltimoreans moving up to York, Pennsylvania. So you get this little sort of southern influence. And then you have the Midwest fucking creeping in from Pittsburgh. And the whole Philly East Coast corridor pretty much stops at Route 100.
Yes.
Which is Lehigh Valley. So the mid part of the mid-state Pennsylvania really doesn't know what it's supposed to be. So it's like this quasi-country. My grocery store has they swap between three channels of music. I think country music night in my old grocery store back in Orangeburg, in Schuylkill County, has like country night on like Tuesday, Thursday, and then it'll do classic R&B on like Monday, Wednesday, and then maybe top 40 on the weekends. Very, very strange. And like, it's super jarring to me because where I live in southern Schuylkill County, you're getting a little bit close to Reading. You don't see too many cowboy hats. And by that, I don't mean the team. I mean a literal cowboy hat.
Yeah.
And then you have these people driving around in OBS Ford pickups with this cowboy hat on, like, the fuck?
Yeah.
Are you cosplaying a cowboy? Yes, we do have ranches in PA, but not like that.
Yeah, there is this type of wish fulfillment of this southern wish fulfillment.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I were born in the glorious South.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think part of it is the
fetishizing. I wish my wife was Blanche DuBois.
Well, they're fetishizing what they hear about in country music, and they fetishize areas that share their views.
Mm-hmm.
So in contravention of northern norms,
yeah,
they're thinking, I just want to go where my people are. Or
like
they,
your old classmate.
Yeah.
She's from fucking Reading.
Yeah.
Well, why am I missing?
She was born in Reading Hospital. I wasn't even born in Reading Hospital. And I've lived in the place forever.
Yeah.
And it's weird in that, you know, I think something along these lines where, like, I think I'm probably the only person I know who doesn't have a Taylor Swift story, despite growing
being
up around
being in
her.
The same play with her.
Being in a play with her and being, like, in the same general school district.
Now, granted, she was in eighth grade, you were a senior, and you were junior, senior high?
Or was she ninth? I was a junior, and she was seventh grade, I want to say. So, yeah, because I'm like four or five.
When'd she leave? What grade?
I had already graduated when she left. So
okay.
And I ended up hearing after the fact of like, oh, she moved to Nashville, and I just thought, huh, that's kind of weird. I mean, don't you go there when you're trying to do country music?
Yeah.
Because what I had always heard was she was doing like pop because she had been handing out I didn't get one of these, but like demos of sort of just
in
regular
school.
Yeah. Well, I don't know for sure, but because this, yeah, I wouldn't have been in the same circles as her, but
right.
Generally,
also the difference between an 11th grader and a 7th grader might
enormous.
As well be a senior citizen and a teenager. At
exactly.
That point.
Yeah. Like the proximity to.
I didn't know any of the freshmen apart my senior year, apart from the ones who were in the marching band. Because we
exactly.
were performing together. That was it.
I knew my brother and his friends, and that was it.
Yeah.
Like, and
yeah.
It's a thing where you don't think about it too much. But once you sort of hear about it after the fact, I remember this was in State College when I was living in that frat house,
mm-hmm.
and on CMT, the country music station, like one of her songs
yeah.
came on, and I thought, huh, that's really weird. I wonder if it's the same Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it turns out it was. And then, you know, it just started from there. I think one or two years later was the Kanye VMAs thing.
Yeah.
And man, that guy went off the rails. Holy
yeah.
shit. And I now I feel it's to the point where I've always said separate the art and the artist, but it's to the point where I don't even know if I can bump Graduation anymore.
Yeah.
Or if I can bump, you know, Late Registration or any of that, because
yeah.
it's just too, it's a bridge too far. He wants to make this whole thing seem like performance art when it's really just what I call HDMI, which is high decibel mental illness.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
being very loud and very wrong, and he's going to say that it's because he's off his meds, and maybe it is,
yeah.
but also, come on now, we're an adult.
Yeah.
With a lot of money. See, that's kind of what scares me, is would I be an awful person too if I had that kind of money?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I yeah. wonder if the how much of it is my situation of just being a random regular American
mm-hmm.
Of regular means is what's keeping my ego in check.
Yeah.
But then I would like to think that if I had millions of dollars, I would still be a good person because I was still raised the same way. And
yeah.
you want to believe that about yourself, but you don't know how that's necessarily going to change you.
Yeah. When like the shackles are removed.
Yes.
And the responsibility is now gone. And the desire to like hustle is now gone. I mean, we could say that there's probably is hope. I wonder what that hole is for. Huh. I don't know. We're still finding out things about this house. Maybe that's where an aerial went, because right below it is an outlet for a TV antenna yeah. or a radio antenna. My parents' house used to have these things.
Possibly.
So maybe this side of the house is where the radio and TV antenna used to
I
be.
I want to bring up real quick that
yeah.
they can't see.
Yeah, right.
You just look up. You're like, I wonder what that hole is.
Yeah. I mean, we could have had the other second camera. There is a way here with OBS. You see on the left side where it says scene and scene two there on yeah. the screen in front of you there.
Yeah.
That we can have different camera setups, and you could click in between those and it would run a different camera. Although with this particular MacBook, there's only two USB ports. One's has the mixing board going into it, and right. the other has the camera. But yeah, we could have had a second one up there.
Ceiling
up
cable.
There. That's my up mid-state. There. Up there.
Yeah.
Up there.
Up there.
But yeah, the shackles being removed, that was kind of like the Army Hammer thing of when you have that, when you come from a family of wealth and money.
Right.
You,
yeah.
you have the freedom to be a cannibal fetishist.
I still think it might have been just role play for him.
I believe it was.
But people weren't ready for that.
No. And he's since gone on podcasts and he's doing his like.
He was on your mom's house. Yeah.
Yeah. His self like rehabilitation thing, explaining that it is role play. And I do believe that.
Yeah.
But I still think like he still hurt people. In, not like physically necessarily, but in the way that he dealt with them.
Yeah, because it's not like cartoonish and it's not a furry thing like Vore is, where that's just, you know, every sort of cartoon, someone eats another. Although, okay, there's two versions of that. There's regular Vore called soft Vore, and then there's another one called hard Vore, which is where like part of the role play is actually the other person is digested and dies,
yes.
which is kind of weird.
Sometimes they're chewed.
Yeah. I mean, but at the same time, you understand, like, with, like, furry role-playing, this is an imaginary character. It's not you. Yeah. So the actual more real-life role-playing, like the BDSM stuff, then, yeah, if he's getting into character and wanting to cannibalize someone and they don't really know that this is a bit, then maybe they'd be taking it seriously. I mean, the people I know, I don't know anybody who does cannibal stuff. I know plenty of people who like ropes and knots and harnesses and stuff like that. Cages.
Mm.
But they said like, okay, there's constant communication the entire time.
Yes, that is the huge
yeah.
part
yeah.
of in any BDSM thing. Because, you know, I dabble in, or dabbled, I either or, but basically.
I'm sure that's a subgenre.
Yeah. Well,
dabble.
It's constant communication.
You gotta wear a bib, but not that kind. You need to be wearing hospital scrubs and the bibs that a coroner uses, which is probably just scrubs. I don't know.
Probably, yeah. Be like a Colleen Hoover novel, just everybody always vest. Getting.
Yeah. Devo suit, the disposable PPE.
Ah. Yeah, so
God, you got to listen to other stuff by Devo. Don't just listen to
Whip It.
Whip It. Yeah, that's their number one hit. Listen to some of their, like, they were almost a noise band, really.
There are people who legit don't know that they had other music that wasn't Whippet.
They thought it was just like Dexy's Midnight Runners or something, like that. They were a one-hit, well, they were a one-hit wonder, but they did so many other stuff. What's a huge band that never had a hit? Fish?
Yeah, because, I mean, I feel like there's a ceiling on how high you can get without having a hit, but Fish sounds like a pretty good thing where fans can name.
Farmhouse, maybe. Hmm. Like their final album, their the title track, Farmhouse, I think you would have heard that.
Maybe. Tool.
Tool,
Or
Hole.
Pantera. Well, I mean, the Hole I feel had, like that. Hole had that. Yeah, I guess Hole kind of had rock chart hits, maybe not top 40. But yeah.
Stevie Ray Vaughan. I think he had, yeah, he just played on like other people's albums, but, oh wait, no, he had Little Girl or some A Minor song. How funny was it that the entire stadium said A Minor?
Oh, you knew they were going.
Yeah. Like, I heard like Josh Johnson stand up, like half the fun, like people leading up, like, is he gonna do Not Like Us? And then they did the teaser in the very beginning of the halftime show, and then he went into other stuff.
Yeah.
Props to getting Samuel L. Jackson to be Uncle Sam.
Damn.
Yeah. It may have been the greatest halftime show I've ever seen, and that's including the original Michael Jackson one.
Yeah.
From like 94 or something.
I think it was 93. And what's weird about that one is that he made it start 2 minutes later because he told the director that I'm going to stand in his Captain Crunch outfit, his glasses, and I'm going to stand there. And then you hit the music when I take off the glasses, but don't hit it before then, no matter what. And so he's just standing there for 2 minutes, like posed. Mm-hmm. And he actually shared a feed of this on social media of him talking from the production truck, even though Michael can't hear him, but he's saying it just because he's frustrated. He's like, come on, Michael, come on. And it's literally just like a 2 minute count where he's just standing there. And then Michael finally does it. He's like, all right, we're on. Let's do it. And you know, the man put on a show, and from that point on, the Super Bowl halftime show became something that it wasn't, because it was just this, you know, we have marching bands and we have, you know, Steely Dan or whatever.
Steely Dan.
I don't even know if that's true. But I am surprised that over the years, the Super Bowl halftime show, sometimes it's really important and other times it's not. In the mid and early 2000s.
Black Eyed Peas, I remember where they were on one. I'm like, this is...
There were a lot of dad rock ones, though. There were like a U2 halftime show, a freaking...
Aerosmith.
Sting. Yeah.
Sting.
Sting in the 21st century was doing the halftime show.
Still cashing checks from the original Dune movie from 84. Yeah. Sting, Mom and Dad.
I'd never heard him play one of your albums. It's like, Marge, shut up. He's a really good digger.
I heard that originally it was supposed to be someone else, like Bruce Springsteen in that Simpsons episode, but they couldn't get him, but Sting said yes. Like, fine, Sting.
And we're just like, we never, I guess.
But from a little kid's standpoint, it's like, oh, that's a rock star who wouldn't normally do this.
Exactly.
It's funny. The bit works. And honestly, it would work better if it was like Bruce Springsteen or someone else. Wouldn't have worked as well.
Yeah.
If it was like a more mainstream person, because at that point, Sting was like doing adult contemporary stuff, kind of like a David Arkenstone. Speaking of that, that's another person.
I've never heard of this man.
Have you ever played any fantasy role-playing game on a video game?
Yes, I have.
You've heard his music.
All right, then.
David Arkenstone, do you remember Pure Moods?
Yeah.
Of course.
Move into a time where time moves slowly. You're gay. Where music carries you away. Also, you're gay. Pure Moods. the type of music for your gay way of life.
It's 3 a.m. Oh, yeah. Go to bed.
And also, you're gay.
It's just, it goes like, on and on, like over and over again.
Yeah.
Pure moods.
Pure moods. I don't make that into a short.
Yeah.
It's like, imagine a world where time moves slowly and you're gay. Put on Pure Moods. It hurts really bad. And take a trip into the unknown with the X-Files theme. I went to a spaceship. They made me straight and then gay and then straight and then gay. Mulder, Scully, both of them are gay, and they're having sex with aliens. Also, the cigarette-smoking man watches and busts. He edges, smokes a cigarette on top of a filing cabinet. The filing cabinet is filled with cum. By the way, Pure Moods.
I never watched to the end. Did they ever explain who the cigarette smoking man is?
I don't remember.
All I know is that he was supposed to be this like bit actor in the background, but then people had all these fan theories around him. It's like, well, hell, we struck oil.
Yeah.
Let's keep putting him back in. Mm. And then there was the X-Files movie starring the Oldsmobile Alero. Or something. It was like this premiere of this G-body or W-body platform. And it was like featured in the same way, like GoldenEye. Yes, that was the Roadster, the BMW. Fuck, we gave one of those cars away.
We did.
Yeah, the BMW. It's like the M Roadster or the Z3, and in the Bond one, it was the 4Banger. Because the M didn't come out until like the year later or the year after that. So all they had to do was new. But enough. That was like the first, like driving it was driving like two Miatas at the same time.
Yeah. More or less.
My dick is small. I can't get hard, so I listen to
David Arkenstone had a bunch of like, I guess we would call it now ambiance music. Or a playlist of stuff like JRPG or like USDM.
Just stuff playing. That I listen
I think,
to while
I think
work.
He did the entire score of one of the Worlds of Warcraft.
Possibly.
Yeah.
That sounds, the way you've described him, it sounds like that would be right up his alley.
I don't know. We can see if you want to use that laptop in front of you, TJ, and just type in David Arkenstone. You can use the browser right there.
That's all right. I got it right here on my phone.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I think it's something.
You said he did what?
The World of
Warcraft.
Yeah. Just I think he did.
Yeah. Composer who contributed music and themes to World of Warcraft, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
That's a good way to just like bank checks. To be like the score for AAA video games.
Yeah.
That you're not involved with any programming, anything at all.
No. And I feel like, well, actually, no, he probably doesn't get residuals from those.
That sucks.
It's probably like a one-time payment, but still.
Yeah.
You know, it pretty much serves as your resume.
Yeah.
Just be like, hey, I did this.
Yeah.
You start showing up on a Wikipedia for World of Warcraft. Okay, well, this whole website's just my thing now.
Yeah.
Well, did you know that? So when I will use videos featuring, or when I am editing videos and I need footage from an old RCR video, I will Google the RCR video. And now Google has this.
I'm looking your plate.
Go ahead. This AI overview, this generated AI overview that sums up whatever it is you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So in the event that you have a question, it'll answer it for you. Well, I type in like, you know, regular car reviews, Oldsmobile Alero or something. Yeah. And it will literally pop up, and the review, the summary is Jalopnik's regular car review.
Oh, fuck features, that.
Yeah.
And yes, we owe a lot to Jalopnik back in the early days, but the idea of aggregator sites are now gone. But it's what AI is doing?
It's what AI thinks we're... granted, it was probably because I was searching for a very, very old video. Mm. I'm sure if I searched for like a modern one, that wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think I searched for A Race to the Bottom, and it mentioned how... This is an episode of the YouTube comedy show Regular Car Reviews, but it's voiced by Roman Nick, not the normal person Brian, or the normal or the one who usually does it, like Brian.
Hmm.
And so it's just interesting the nuances of how it will summarize based on what video you're looking for, and probably the verbiage you're using to look for it. But it's just hilarious to me.
Hmm.
You know, a lot of these. A lot of people have been searching and getting really annoyed with these AI overviews. Apparently found that you can just type in any expletive into your search query.
Yeah.
And just AI overview fucks off.
Mm. It just drops.
Yeah.
Drops four-letter words the whole time?
No. It disappears.
Oh.
It refuses to give AI overviews when you have a search term that is any sort of obscenity.
Really? Okay, cool.
Cool.
How do I fucking blah, blah, blah in
how the fuck do I change the channel?
How do I make a mask? Actually, it's pretty freaking awesome, like the Magic Mask tool in Adobe. DaVinci, yeah. I needed to remove this background, and I did it like in 10 seconds.
Mm.
And I didn't even have to draw around myself. You draw a rough outline within your own body. Hit Magic Mask, right click in the node thing for an alpha channel, and then it's done. Actually, before that, then you have to apply it. It'll animate it around yourself, like in stabilization. And then it did it, because I took a clip from the test earlier today to make a short. I have to make sure. So today's Wednesday. We are writing the Alfa Romeo next.
All right.
I have some notes for that, and I really should be doing that tomorrow.
That's my plan for tomorrow. I need to finish Race to the Bottom tonight. And by finish, I just mean throw on a song and export it.
Yeah.
But generally speaking...
can we talk about the Julia just for a little bit?
Sure.
Because, I mean... Thank you, everybody who's watching. This is a free one on Patreon. And also, I wonder if I should ask you... Well, I kind of want to ask you. In fact, I am asking you.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe that's a good question. If this really isn't Regular Car Reviews podcast, even though it is, to make a new...
feed?
Like feed for iTunes and Spotify.
Yeah.
And that, since it's not RCR podcast, it's called Regular Friends.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen podcasts that I've been subscribed to rebrand on the same feed so that you have the back catalog.
Okay.
But, the host that I'm using, I would have to go and check to see if I could change the name.
Mm-hmm.
And I would assume you would want a different logo for Regular and Friends whenever that comes along.
That's going to be next month, because Chai, Morning Chai, who was with us on the... you weren't a part of this, but you met them. Oh, wait, we did the panel at Furrydelphia together.
Yeah.
So they were there. And just so you know, I'm not gendering. Chai goes by Yes, all of them. All genders. So you can go she, they. I think really not him. It's not really him anymore. You can go she, or I guess it's she, they, maybe him. But they're not shaving anymore. So it's... Chai is like... I was about to say the gender-warped version of Iggy Pop, but even that is Iggy Pop. So... Goddamn, Iggy Pop still... Like... He always looks simultaneously 73 and 18.
Huh.
It's like... Anyway. Chai is going to make the banner in the background. I'm still going to use the Chunk 5 typeface.
Yes.
But it's going to say Regular Friends, up top, and then below it is going to be like cartoon versions of all of us, probably me as human and then remote, you as you, but maybe like a luchador version of you.
Yeah, I used to have a luchador mask, and I don't know what happened to it. Mm. I actually think I lost it in... Oh, yeah, no, that's what happened. I went down Richmond once for a car show, and I took the bus there because I didn't have a car at the time. And that was the time where my luggage got lost in the bus because I didn't take off the tag. Mm. And so when I went back, they thought it was... It's weird and dumb. But, yeah. I mean, they don't have to do a mask. They literally just do my hat.
Okay.
Because it doesn't have to be anything that complex. Also, I've never had like a... Actually, no, that's not true. I did have a cartoon version of myself once. But I'm kind of interested in a caricature for humor's sake.
Yeah.
But yeah. Because I feel like I have a very cartoonable face. You know, like very large, weird features.
It wouldn't surprise me if Chai could do something about our tapestry.
Yeah. Our... tapestry that came with the house, I'd have to find out how skilled they are with paint, because trying to find someone now who works in traditional mediums will be a challenge.
That's a Jane Austen ass
It's like hyper idyllic. I don't know if it's trying to be, and this is great for people who don't care. We should like, I'll take a picture of this or something. Someone figured out what this thing is. It's not worth much, like $150, but this big tapestry on the wall, also with the tiniest dog in the lower left-hand corner.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
It's depressed. Like not even to, it's not to scale. It's the size of a kitten.
It's not to scale at all. That's like a spaniel of some kind.
Yeah.
It's the size of a squirrel.
What are they that? Even? Is this supposed to be an American scene, a French scene, an English scene? It's like the women are in wedding dresses, and then there's one guy in a tuxedo with a... What's the flower? Is it still called a brooch if it's a guy? With the gayest haircut in the world.
I think if I had to guess, it'd be French.
Yeah.
He looks like he'd rather be anywhere else. Yeah. Like he's listening to her bullshit again for the 800th time.
I gotta listen to your fucking sister play her viola here.
And she sucks.
She sucks. Look, I want to get the inheritance, so this is what I gotta do. Look, I'm marrying into the family.
There's a small child next to the woman playing the viola, and she's doing something with her hands. I'm pretty sure she's throwing up gang signs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, I'm only in this marriage because your father's giving me a job at the brooch factory.
Yeah. Oh. A little bit of that. A little bit of that. There are people who can see that.
Get the VHS collection in there, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Like, that dude's just had it.
Yeah.
He's way over it.
Yeah.
Light.
It's... Okay, so you got this little girl throwing up gang signs, I guess trying to dance to the music. You have the older sister there... Playing the violin. You have the one guy in the picture who's either is he looking at her tits, or is he just looking off into space somewhere?
He's doing his Timothy Chalamet thing, yeah. Just like veering off.
And then there's the little girl down there who's like, when is it my turn? Or it's the weirdest music stand in the world because it's not a true tripod. It's just this X on the ground. That thing's ready to fall over. And then you have the tiny little doggy there in the corner.
And that is the smallest dog.
And then over on the far right, you have, I guess, the person, the guy, the one male in the picture who's the groom. Gotta sit and be good. He's not even... The thing I like about the guy is that he's not even sitting in the chair straight. He's like, the fuck?
This is villain origin story.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Me in this tea garden on this gigantic estate. And there's some sort of building in the background, like a very Jay Gatsby sort of thing.
Yeah, the longer you look at it, the more stuff you realize. Like, there's a wall partition behind them. And
this is old, old money here.
Yeah.
Like, you will be assigned a job in your parents' ethnic slur factory. But
the help has help.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Think that billionaires had estates. Look at this estate.
Yeah. That's like the, what is the one that, the Biltmore or something?
The Biltmore?
Biltmore, yeah.
I'm going to Featherington Manor.
We don't really have that in the Philly area. I've referenced the borough of Gladwin. That's a pretty place with like big houses. I've never driven through it.
That's something I ought to do. Take Crazy Taxi down there. Now that we have the beds out, technically I could bring Crazy Taxi down, but the roads are still wet and junky and slushy, and it's nasty, and it's going to snow more.
Salt.
Yeah, salt, classic car. No. Well, we've been going for 45 minutes. This is a good introductory one.
That's about good for me. I don't know why I said it in that voice. I had no idea.
Thank you so much for people who are watching the beginning of Regular and Friends. Thank you for supporting us on Patreon. You are watching the free version, but if you want more of this, then come down and come down and bust.
Ah, damn, it got really
I swear,
zesty.
I swear to God, you'll bust harder than you ever have if you subscribe to our Patreon. My God, the velvet thick, heavy, mooring line ropes of jizz that's gonna I swear to God, you better have plasterboard and not drywall, because that cum that will come out of you when you subscribe to RCR's Patreon, busting a hole. First you bust, and then you're gonna bust so hard you won't get your security deposit back. RCR's Patreon. Thank you so much. This has been Regular Friends. See you next week.
Marvelous.